At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hello and welcome to The Bookmonger. I'm John J. Miller of National Review. Thanks for listening. This show is a production of National Review, and we're recording from the studio WRFH, the campus radio station of Hillsdale College. Our guest is John Wukowicz, author of Lost at Sea, Eddie Rickenbacker's 24-Hour Days Adrift on the Pacific, a World War II tale of courage and faith. John, welcome to The Bookmonger.
Well, thank you, John, for having me on your show. I look forward to talking about what I found to be quite a fascinating story.
What happened to Eddie Rickenbacker in October and November of 1942?
Well, first of all, in those days, Eddie Rickenbacker was a huge hero throughout the nation. He had done so much in his life up till 1942. He started out as a top-notch automobile racer. He raced at the Indy 500. Then in World War I, he was the leading ace, shot down more enemy aircraft than any other American. He had then, between World War I and World War II, survived numerous crashes or accidents that really he should have probably lost his life. But so the country always was familiar with his name. Well, in October of 42, the government asked him to go over to New Guinea and deliver a message from the government to General Douglas MacArthur. They figured MacArthur would not like the message. And so they chose Eddie to be the one to say it because Eddie could stand up to MacArthur. He was as big a hero as MacArthur. And, you know, he wouldn't back down. Now, no one knows exactly what that message was. Eddie Rickenbacker said, "I will take it to my grave." And so did Douglas MacArthur and Secretary Stimson. No one ever divulged. It probably was the government telling MacArthur, "Hey, hold off on your criticism of your military superiors," because MacArthur was sniping at him a lot for sending more supplies and men over for the European invasion to come whenever, and he felt slighted. Also, he was dropping hints that he was going to run for president in 1944. So they wanted to tone that down. That was probably it, but no one knows for sure. Anyway, in October of 42, he takes off in a B-17 bomber along with seven other men. One was a close friend of his, and the rest were crew of the plane and one other passenger who was an Army sergeant returning to combat. They were flying across the ocean to New Guinea when about midway they got lost and through various set of circumstances. They eventually ran out of gas and had to ditch near the equator. They safely exited the bomber, all eight of them, and got into three life rafts. Now, when you think of life rafts, don't think of anything spacious for sure. There were two of the two larger ones. The men compared them like a single bed mattress in size. Three men fit into each of those. The other two were in the smaller one, which they compared to being in a bathtub. So they did not have much space. Well, first they figured, what the heck, we have Eddie Rickenbacker with us. The military will mount a vast search for us, and we'll be picked up within a day or two at most. Well, the military did mount a vast search, but the plane went down farther from the supply shipping routes across the Pacific than the rescuers figured.
So they were lost at sea. That's the name of your book. Where were they in the vastness and emptiness of the Pacific Ocean?
Okay, if everyone knows where the equator and international dateline intersect, right there in the middle of the Pacific, not too far from Japanese-controlled territory in the Gilbert and Ellice Islands, and a bit farther from American-controlled territory in American Samoa and other islands. It was sort of an out-of-the-way place because the shipping routes went to the southeast of where they ditched. That's why the rescuers didn't find them at first. They assumed that they had flown fairly close to those supply routes. But they did not, because some of the instruments aboard the bomber worked improperly. So as a result, they were lost in that spot, a hot spot, obviously, if you're right on the equator, spent 24 days trying to survive.
24 days is a long time. Did they have water? Did they suffer dehydration? What other kinds of threats did they face while they were lost at sea?
They exited the bomber without any food beyond four oranges and no fresh water. But again, they feared they'd be picked up right away. Well, as days went on, the food and water situation became lethal. They had to have some. They had nothing for basically the first week adrift on the Pacific. They did consume those oranges, but that's it. And every once in a while, a few minnows, they might be able to sort of catch and bring up to the life raft. They did have a fishing line, but nothing to lure the fish with. You know, they had no bait. They tried to catch some, but it didn't work. Well, after the first week, in one of there are basically four or five, I'll call them unusual events. Some would say miraculous events occurred. Eddie Rickenbacker was sitting in his raft and the men were starving. They were getting weaker by the day when suddenly a tern, sort of like a seagull, landed on his hat. He was still wearing his hat. Eddie slowly reached up and grabbed it, wrung its neck, and they divided that bird. So that was their first food. Fortunately, you know, they used then the intestines from the bird to use as bait to get fish. So that sort of solved their food problem. From then on, they kept doing that same thing. Catch a fish, use the intestines to get more fish, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So wrap up the story for us then. What happened over the course of these weeks? How were they eventually rescued?
In the third week, the military was about ready to give up the search. General Arnold, in charge of the Army Air Forces at the time, was ready to cancel it. Adelaide Rickenbacker, Eddie's wife, heard about it, and she took a train from New York to Washington, D.C., and basically said, "You're not going to call off a search for a national hero." Well, he agreed to extend it another week or so. He ordered a wider search, and it was some aircraft from some of the islands along the supply route. Funafuti was the name of one of the main island. There were some aviators who came upon the rafts. Now, at that time, the three rafts, the men decided to split up and go separate ways. So first they spotted the pilot of the bomber and rescued him. He said, "Hey, the other two rafts are somewhere around here. They can't be far away." And they finally found them. The plane descended to the surface, taxied up near Rickenbacker's raft, put them aboard, and basically took them back to the island.
Eddie Rickenbacker lived until 1973. He had a son with a connection to National Review. That's Bill Rickenbacker, who was a senior editor at National Review in the 1960s. What can you tell us about Bill Rickenbacker and maybe how Eddie Rickenbacker influenced him?
Well, yeah, like any child of a national hero, you would be greatly impacted by your dad. He even published a book about letters that he and his dad exchanged. Rickenbacker, I would assume, like many military in those days, was generally rather conservative, and that would have trickled down to his son, Bill Rickenbacker, who, as you just mentioned, is part of the National Review.
The author is John Wukowitz. The book is Lost at Sea, Eddie Rickenbacker's 24 Days Adrift on the Pacific, a World War II tale of courage and faith. John, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it was my pleasure. I had a wonderful time. Thanks.
Thanks to all of you for listening. If you enjoyed this show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help new listeners discover us, and that helps us keep this show going. We'll be back next week with a new episode of The Bookmonger.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.